Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verses 8 to 15. Acts 6, verses 8 to 15. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedman, as it is called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Amen.
Okay, folks, the Bible reading today, Acts. Amazing chapter, isn't it? We read the back end of it, or the middle part of it, and we see this story about Stephen. Now, how many people remember Stephen was employed to do what? Serve tables. Serve tables. And yet in verse 8, what was he doing? Miraculous. Supernatural. Healing people. Restoring sight. All this sort of stuff. It was amazing what he was doing. So that's pretty good, from serving tables to this sort of stuff. He was also out there preaching the gospel in amazing ways. So much so that people were stirred up against him. So much so that they told lies about him. And so much so that they had him ready for him to be executed, which happens a little bit later. The amazing thing is that Stephen stands up in front of them all. And as he's standing before them, and as they're hurling these lies at him, what does the Bible say he looked like? He looked like an angel. The Spirit of God was working in and through him in such a level that his wisdom and God working that through into the people's lives spoke volumes. Many believed, many were angry at that because that was challenging their way of understanding, their life, probably their livelihood as well. And so they wanted him out of the way. Sounds very similar to what they did to Jesus, isn't it? But if you think about all the amazing things Jesus did, and he just taught about loving your neighbor as you love yourself, and a whole bunch of amazing things. So we get to a point where Stephen is standing there before them, and he looks like an angel. Now, I don't know about you, but this morning I prayed lots before this service. I got up early this morning and was praying through my sermon notes and making sure that, you know, I'm praying the prayer, "God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, not my will be done, but your will be done. You know, enable me, Lord God, to be your hands and feet and your mouthpiece to these people, because it's a beautiful day and I don't want to waste their time." So I'm standing before you. You're keen to hear God's word. So do I look like an angel?
Yeah.
I love it when you come to church. Do I? I mean, do I look like... Nah, okay. Not even my wife is saying yes. Oh. But so he looked like an angel. So something supernatural, something amazing was going on there, wasn't it? He's standing up in his culture, standing against the things that were damaging his community and his culture. He was standing up for Jesus. Now today, for those of you who read through a little bit of the sermon series that we're doing over January, we're doing a whole water theme. This week is going against the stream, or standing against, going against the flow. And in our culture today, there's a lot of challenges for us to go against the flow. It's very easy to go with the flow, isn't it? It's very easy just to do what everybody else does. And you can see in our culture the changes that take place, and before we know it, there we are. Like, for example, as a little boy growing up, my parents, my grandparents, my uncles and my aunties, at afternoon tea time or morning tea time or night time, they drank tea. Not coffee. They drank tea. They drank tea. My dad was black tea. My mum was a weak tea. And so they would have this conversation. I'll have the first cup out of this thing called a teapot. I'll have the first cup because that's the weak one. And dad, I'll have the last one because that's the strong one. And now it's very rare to have people that'll drink tea when you go out. They drink coffee. So very quickly over my lifetime, we've gone from Australia tea drinkers to Australia coffee drinkers. And that transition period was terrible, wasn't it? International roast was called coffee. You know, when you went to someone's house and they had Nescafe 43 beans, that you were in a really upmarket house. They didn't have international roast. And there was another one. What was it called? Bushels? Yeah, no, Bushels. There was another one that was... Pablo! Pablo coffee! How could I forget? My mum had Pablo. I think she still has a glass of it in the... So I don't drink coffee at my mum's place. But times, they are a-changing. And sometimes we can drift with that, or sometimes we have to stand with or against that. Can I have someone that can write neatly? Because last time I did this, no one understood what I wrote. Come on, Robin. Thank you very much. All right, now. There you go, Robin. Nice black pen. So we'll see how many answers we get. Here's your question. Now, you can either put your hand up or call out. That's up to you. In our culture today, what are some of the things that you think we should be standing against? Okay. What was that? Who?
Kim Jong-un.
Oh, Kim Jong-un. Okay, all right. The communism. So we'll put Kim, North Korea. Might put North Korea, might in India. All right. Very good. Well done. How old are you?
Good.
You're right across it all. All right. So anyone else? Another answer. Sorry, gay marriage. Okay, well, unfortunately, that's in. Nothing we can do about that, but you can still do something there. Yep, we'll put it down. Anyone else? Discrimination. Discrimination, that's a big box with a lot of stuff in it. Yes. Poverty. Poverty. So discrimination, poverty. I saw another hand, John Vuko.
Relativism.
Relativism. A big word. Oh, excellent work. Keep going. You wrote that one, Robin? Bonnie, what did you have?
Forgot.
You forgot. Okay.
Forgetfulness.
My mum's... I have this 4 conversations with my mum every week. It always ends with me in trouble. Yeah, Richie.
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking. Do you realise that at this very age, with all our wisdom, understanding that there are more people throughout the world stuck in slave trade than ever before in our world's existence? And we outlawed it. The Christians throughout the UK and Europe rallied against it and fought it and defeated it in Parliament. And yet, it's rampant today. Rampant. Okay, good one. Yes, I see that hand. Daniel.
Gun violence.
Gun violence. Very good. Very good. Gun violence. Gun violence. Bully. Being a bully. Yes, Peter.
Dysfunctional government.
All right. Now, let me give you a clue here. Soon and very soon, I'm going to ask you for how do we do this? Got it? Dysfunctional government. All right. Anyone? Apple ripping us off by making... No? No? A massive court case going against Apple because we're charging us to upgrade. All right. Political correctness. Political correctness. And another hand at the back. War against the unborn, okay. One more. Yes, David.
Ageism.
Ageism.
Yes.
Political correctness.
Please.
Stricken with age. That's a disease. We can't help with that one. All right. So political correctness, war against the unborn. Oh, very good. Make another one for me.
I
got a little bit more to preach. And what was the other one? Ageism. All right. Very good. Okay, folks, a lot of lists there. How do we stand against that? That is flowing in. Thank you very much. You may sit down, Robin. Good work. I can read those. These are flowing. Give your hand. Yes, thank you. These are flowing in, and if you look at them, they are in ways throughout our world and in our nation. So how do you stand against that? How do you make a stand? Well, Stephen made a stand in the power of God, so much so that he looked like an angel. So obviously he did it with the power of God working in and through. So I think that's one of our first things, that whenever we stand against these sort of things, that we do it with the power of God, and we do it crying out to God for him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, that we will stand in his power, his strength, with his wisdom and his discernment. Because when you're stepping into a culture where this is all okay at the moment, then you get smashed to pieces in a social media forum. All right, so you need to have wisdom and discernment on how you stand against these things. If you have your Bibles, we're going to have a look at Daniel. Another situation where a group of young men stood against something incredible that was going on in their lives. Now, as you turn to Daniel, I'm not going to read out big chunks of it, but I'm going to point out a few things. And you can cross-reference it as we go through it and make sure I stay on track. Now, Daniel was a young man. We do not know a lot about him. A lot of the commentary writers actually say we wish he had put in a bit more information about his childhood. All we know is that he was one of four who was taken by Nebuchadnezzar back to Babylon because he was one of the cream of the crop when they overtook Jerusalem yet again. We don't know whether he was a part of the royal family or whether he was just the cream of the crop or whether he was one of the sons of the rich families, or whether in fact he was from a poor family and because he was very good at what he did, keep going mate, do another one for me, or because he was very good at what he did, he got something like a scholarship which enabled him to be amongst the royal family and the new up and coming leaders and developers of the nation of Israel. And so when Nebuchadnezzar comes in, he captures everything, and as is his trend, according to wise men, that every nation that he conquered, every place that he went, he always picked the cream of the crop and he brought them back to Babylon. And he trained them up with the best education that they could have. The best food, the best of everything, in the best place in the world. Now some of us might go, hold on a sec, it's Babylon, that's not such a good place. Go back to the same period that Daniel lived in. Babylon was the number one city in the whole world. It was over 1,000 hectares. Of that city. 1,000 hectares. That's massive. It had a wall, two walls in fact. The one wall was 320 feet high, 18 feet thick, and according to wise men, had 11 miles around the center of the city. 11 miles at that sort of height. That's some serious work that's getting taken place. There was another outer wall, which was 45 miles long. Didn't go into details on how big that one was. But some of the archaeology that has been done on this, the photos of old stuff or the remakes of some of the things that they saw from this amazing city, is just the technology at the time was just through the roof for a place like this. It had over 1,000 temples. The Babylonian and Nebuchadnezzar, we know from some of the stuff that we read, a very supernatural or spiritual man looking and finding out what was going on, and he wanted to know what was the reality of another being. So far they had 1,000 temples in the city. I'm sure they had a Jewish temple because they'd conquered the Jews. And they were trying to figure out what was going on. And so when they brought Daniel and his mates into this situation, they were going from a tough situation into what possibly is the best of all situations ever. Diego, you've got a new car this week. You have. Your old car was a Kia. And your old car has died and gone to be with Jesus. Yes, okay. Now, so your old car, it broke down a number of times. You're not sorry to see it go?
No.
No? Okay. The new car has more whiz-bang buttons in it than you know what to do with, right? And you're still learning on what this does, and you push this button, all of a sudden the roof goes back. It's just amazing. You push this button and it talks to you. Don't park here. You're not allowed. You know, it's an amazing car. And a screen comes up and you push another button and the screen disappears and then you can play CDs like old school. It is incredible. Now that you've had this newness in this fantastic new car, do you want to go back to the other one? Absolutely not. You don't want to go back to it. Was the air conditioner broken in the old one? Yes, no air conditioning, new one, air conditioning. So Daniel and his mates are leaving Jerusalem, which was in a bad way, into this new place where there's everything that is the best of the best. His education he was going to get was the best education that could be found in the world at that time. The food was going to be the best food that he could ever get. The wine was going to be the best wine. Because if you read that in Daniel chapter 1, you'll read that the food they were going to get was off the king's table. So whatever the king was eating, they were getting to eat. And I'm pretty sure the king was eating the top of the notch. He wasn't just ducking out to McDonald's at the end of the day and getting a Happy Meal. He was getting whatever he wanted to eat. And these people, because they were the cream of the crop, the new lot coming through, got all that food. So much so that I'm not sure what there was to stand against at this moment in time. That's easy to go with the flow, isn't it? Easy to live back in the lap of luxury in this highly amazing city, the best city in the whole world. And I'm a captive here. I get the best food. I'm getting the best education. But Daniel and his mates did stand against it. They tried twice. Not once. They tried twice. So that's a second clue, isn't it? Sometimes when you try the first time, you might not get through. But the second time, you might get through with a little bit of favour from God. The second time, they got through and their plea was this. A test for 10 days. A 10-day test that they would be vegetarian and only drink water. And if at the end of that 10 days, they weren't as good as the rest of the crew, then they'd put their hands in the air and be a part of the whole lot. And so they signed up to this contract. The puzzle was starting to come together. It was starting to become one place, one piece. And after 10 days, guess what? Daniel and his mates were doing way better than the rest. It was obvious. I don't know about you, but that's amazing, isn't it? See, the book of Daniel is an amazing book. It's full of history. It's full of supernatural. I mean, here's a situation where these guys ate healthy food for 10 days and water, and they looked better than those eating the good food and the good drink. Amazing. God's in it, hey? God's in it. God's got a plan here. He's got a strategy. He's amongst it. There's other things. There's Daniel goes into the lion's den and he's protected. There's guys that get put into a great big thermos. Fiery thermos. A big fire pit. And they survive. Amazing. Then there's in the middle of the night riding on the wall while they're having a party. There's stuff that happens in the book of Daniel that is amazingly spiritual and supernatural. And then there's some other stuff that even today we're reading and going, what is Daniel saying there? What's he talking about? How do we understand that? It's an amazing book. Incredible book. So they get through this 10-day test and then they go on for the next 3 years. See, it doesn't finish after 10 days. It goes on for the next 3 years that they stand against the good food. They stand against the way that the culture was starting to impose upon them. The name change. Change your name. Wow. They're really putting their rubber stamp on these four guys, aren't they? But they stand against that and they grab hold of who they are in God. Now, the commentary writers go backwards and forwards, and one of the ones that I read through that grabs hold of it and says, they made a stand against the food because it was offered in the 1,000 temples, all right, to all those other gods. So paganism running rampant, whole bunch of really bad stuff happening in and throughout this amazing city. So they didn't want to be sucked into the bad side, the dark side, all right? They wanted to stay following God and eat the food that was no longer contaminated or offered up to imaginary gods. They didn't want to have any part of that. 3 years they learnt. 3 years they studied. 3 years they ate this food and drank the water. And at the end of that 3 years, everyone is brought before Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think they're a little bit better than the rest? Do you think they're a little bit? I know, John. I know you know. You and I are reading the same book. Thank you very much. I'm really enjoying it. They're this much better? Do you think they're twice as good? Twice as good is pretty good. If I was twice as good a cricketer as Steve Smith, I'd be pretty good. Wow. That's fantastic. Keep going. See if you can go bigger. See if you can do a hectare of blocks. Oh, wow. So do you think twice? Three times. Four times. Oh, come on, this is ridiculous. Five times. They ate vegetables. Come on. 10 times. They were 10 times better. It's recorded in the book. They looked around and said, these four guys are 10 times better than everybody else. That's impressive, isn't it? Can you think back to being in a class where you were 10 times better than every other student? No, I can never imagine that. I can't even remember a class where I was the best student, let alone 10 times better. 10 times better. Why? Because they stood there and said no. They stood against the flow. They grabbed hold of what was good for them because they knew God had that for them. Now, tackling these ones are big, and I believe we need to tackle them. But how do we do it? Well, firstly, we need to do it in God's strength. Secondly, there's going to take times where we'll need to knock on the door a number of times. When this one was officially beaten way back when, it didn't just happen once or twice or three times. They knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. And we'll have to stand against that as well. But there is little things that we can do against human trafficking and slave trade throughout our world. You can buy certain type of coffee that is not being put together on farms where slaves are used to farm the coffee. You can check that out. There's a number of different ways. Or you can simply just go to Kai Coffee and buy a coffee for them because they do all the hard work. Correct, Grant? Every year they check that out, don't they? And so that every year the farms where the Kai Coffee comes from has been tested. Because, you know, people are clever, aren't they?
Yeah.
Clever. So there are coffee people who get rid of all the kids doing slave work on there, and then the people come out and certify it and go, tick, non-slave trade coffee farm. And so we're buying the coffee for them, and as soon as the certifiers leave, guess what? Those guys all get sacked and they bring back the slave kids. So you've got to go back again and again and again to check out that these people, because they're people and they're clever, and what they want is the money. And so we've got to be wary of all this stuff. Baptist World Aid has some very good information to help us stand against the area of trafficking and also stand against the things like in certain clothing where companies throughout the world are getting clothes because they're made in slave shacks. Our mobile phones too. You can check out the ratings on them as well, and you can make decisions that may cost you a little bit more. I mean, getting certified coffee, I mean, Kai Coffee is great coffee, but it's not as cheap as the cheap stuff when it probably comes from a slave trade farm. So you may have to pay a little bit more to help make a stand, which is always the way when you're trying to go against the flow, the resistance hits you. Now, there may be other areas. You may have to get a mobile phone. I used to love HTC phones, but I found out that HTC is on one of the lower scales in the area of having slaves make it. So I don't have a HTC anymore. So there's just things that you can do to grab hold of it. Some of them are things that you can do for yourself. Ageism. That's something you can do for yourself. You can make sure that you love people from all different ages. And you don't let other people get there because they're older or younger or whatever else. Discrimination is something you can grab hold of. But again, like Stephen stood, he had wisdom and discernment, which helped him to make that stand. We need wisdom and discernment, amen? And the only way we get that is by letting God work in and through us. Now, it may be as simple as Daniel and his mates becoming vegetarian and eating and drinking water, getting rid of the other stuff out of our lives. Now, you and I both know that we've got stuff in our lives that's damaging to our walk with God. You know that? Amen? I'll let you know one of the ones that is in my life. Actually, I'll let you know two. And I guarantee that none of you will be surprised over these two that I continue to war against and will continue to war against in 2018. Sorry? Ice cream. I haven't had ice cream all year. Thank you, Arthur. I think that's a true confession. I'm checking now whether I have had ice cream. When did we have that ice cream with Jamie? I have had ice cream this year. I apologise. Okay. I haven't had ice cream since Jamie left. Two for me. The ability to say no. I have not got a very good ability to say no. I had a friend come up and visit me on Friday from Ipswich. He drove all the way up to see me and wanted to hang out with me, and we were going to have lunch together. And he said, where can we have lunch? And I said, well, we can go to the Kiwanis Surf Club or we can go over to the Kiwanis Pub. I had a meeting up at Phrygian at 1 o'clock, so I had to leave at 12:30. And he said, oh, yeah, okay, that's good. And then he goes, Mooloolaba has hog's breath. And I went, yes, it does. Why don't we go to Mooloolaba with hog's breath? They have a $10 meal. And in my heart, I'm going, no. Let's go to the surf club. And he's going, $10 meal, man. That's great. Let's go to hog's breath. And so I said, okay. Now, how many of you know it only took me 3 minutes by the time we got anywhere near Mooloolaba to know that I'd made a mistake? Yeah. We had 15 minutes driving around. Couldn't find a car park anywhere. And I knew this. He was from Ipswich. He was naive. I should have said, no, mate, we're not going there. It's a bad idea. Even though you're my mate and I want to please you and you've driven all this way and I feel obligated to look after you, no, we're not going to Mooloolaba. There are, tourists over there. We're not going. But I did try to please him. And then we ended up at Alex Head's Surf Club. And I didn't order any food because I had to leave. If I had said no, that would have been less stressful. So no will help me walk with God more and help me to stand my ground and do what is actually better for me, for my family, and for my church. The second one is busyness. Busyness. How many know busyness in your life? It just wades in, and before you know it, it starts to erode your walk with God or your walk with your family or your time with family. And so as far as Daniel, for me, being able to say no and busyness to get it rid of it so I got plenty of time for allowing God to work, for allowing God to speak into my life, to allow God to give me wisdom and discernment in and through these areas so I can stand against the things in my community with God's help and God's strength. And not just in my own strength, in my own ability. Does that make sense? So if we want to make a stand, we've got to do it in God's strength, with His witness, with His wisdom, and with His discernment. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You for Stephen. What an amazing man who was filled with Your Holy Spirit and much wisdom and discernment and was able to stand in front of people and give a testimony of Your work in and through his life. And what a great testimony it is in Acts chapter 7. But Father, that stand cost him his life, but it was worth it for him, Lord. Father, for Daniel and his mates back in Babylon, Lord God, they made that stand, and it was an incredible stand. The people around them, I'm sure they jeered them and told them how good the food was that they were missing out on. But Lord, your reward was amazing, 10 times better than any others, because they did things your way. And there was a cost to it, but they did things your way. And Father, for us in this church, for our walk with you, for our stand in our community, for our stand in our families, we have got to do things your way. So help us. Lord, all of us have got different things that we need to make a stand against that are there that will rip our lives to pieces. We all know them. And I pray, Lord God, at this time of the year, we'll be able to make a stand with your Holy Spirit filling us and guiding us so that our walk with you may be louder and brighter and clearer. Now, walk in this community might be the same as well. So guide us in all these things, I pray. And God's people said, amen. I'm going to hand back to Avril and the team as they come and lead us in our last song. Please come and grab a morning tea with us. I'm going to stay around for a while if you'd like some prayer. If you've got some things in your life that you want, yep, I want to make a stand against that. I'd love to pray with you. And I'm just going to help these kids and see how good their things that they've made are. So God bless you today. Hang around, have a tea and coffee with us.